Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Chemda, please say something.
Hey.
Okay. All right. I think we were all afraid Chemda was dead. Twitter.com/Chemda, C-H-E-M-D-A. Here's what she writes. Went to a rap battle. Surprise. Had to grab our shit and run.
Yeah.
Danny.
No exaggeration, by the way.
Danny was here yesterday. He's up for going anywhere. He's down for a party. Chemda says, I'm going to go to a rap battle in Brooklyn. You want to come?
And
real,
he goes,
real stuff. Eminem kind of stuff. No.
He was like, well, I have my shows are on. And I'm like, you watch them on Hulu. Don't give me shit. Right. And he's like, okay, I just don't want to go. And I was like, all right, just say that. But it's the first time that Danny ever said no to me. And you know what? It turned out to be a really good thing he didn't come.
How there isn't going to be trouble when you go on stage rhyming, you're going to fuck somebody's mother. You're the best who's ever been. You're a chump right in their face. They don't just, and then it's over and they go, shake hands. Good job.
Well, to be honest, I went with a couple of really positive people, you know? I mean, we heard some of their rhymes on the marathon.
They will positively fuck your mom and you're a schmuck. And
I mean, yeah, they have some shit to say, but I mean, I'm even thinking of some of the lyrics, and yeah, they're aggressive, but I don't know. I guess, you know, one of the guys is Johnny, and I thought, you know, Johnny, like, goes out of his way to stay out of trouble, you know? And
right.
So I thought, you know, this should be in a place that's more safe and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll tell you the story.
Well, let me say this also. I heard the interview you just did, by the way, keithandthegirl.com/VIP for bonus Keith and the Girl stuff. And I heard a show Chemda does. She's a series called What's My Name? And she just interviewed Lawrence, her partner's father, again, this time on gun control. First time, of course, was when Jesus went into his body. This time, it was on gun control. I just heard it. I love it.
You got, I mean, that was a sincere excitement when you came in the door.
I think you hear Keith and the Girl, maybe you think, hey, maybe this gun control issue is a little one-sided. So you hear this show and you hear all the sides, you know, somebody who's intelligent saying why having guns is okay.
And a gun owner himself. And I didn't,
a multiple gun owner.
Multiple gun owner. And I didn't tell him the topic because he owns guns. He thinks it's people's right to own guns. So you should be able to speak on it.
I agree. I did like that, and I think it's fair, and I agree. This person writes, by the way, Sarah says, I listened to the gun control episode last night when you mentioned Ron's business stuff. That's his name, Ron.
By the way, MauiIsland.com.
I realized he married my husband and me on April 14, 2001. I found this picture, and it was definitely him. He was great, amazing. Just wanted to share. Love the show. VIP is great. Thanks for your thoughtful interviews, Sarah.
But he really does do a good job. He has some videos online of the weddings. And, you know, a lot of times when people go to Hawaii to get married, they want, you know, that Hawaiian-looking guy, you know, with the blowing from a conch shell or whatever that is.
Right.
And, you know, a bunch of hoopla that's very Hawaii-related. And he refuses to do that because he's not a native. He's not, you know, brown and, you know, all Buddha-looking or whatever it is that people are looking for when they look for a wedding in Hawaii. But when he does the weddings, he's sincere. I mean, he told me some of the stuff that he's done and said, and he's like, they're going to laugh, they're going to cry every single time. And I watched one of them. Wow,
right.
Man. Wow. Wow. You will never forget your wedding. Wow.
It is funny. He probably writes down what he's going to say, and he's like, what do you think, honey? Do I make him cry first or laugh first?
No, he's such a pro. I don't think he writes anything down. He just has this thing where, you know, I mean, it's catered to you, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, he knows the history of the couple, because a lot of the stuff is vow renewals, so people have been married for 10, 15, 20 years, 50 years sometimes. Oh, yeah, they just did, like, a 40-year one. I don't know. So he'll say things that have to do about you guys, but he's just such a pro, and he's such a whiz with words as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
So anyway, I want to shout it out. It's MauiIsland.com, and they gave me some of the comparison prices because there are a lot of really zhuzhy hotels there, and you can go and spend like $4,000 at some hotel just for the land that you stand on, or you could spend way less than that and get your whole wedding paid for with them.
I'll take the second one, right?
Yeah, I mean, because they have so many connections on the island and because they're a small mom-and-pop business, they can compete with everybody. And so they'll get it for cheaper than you can get it yourself if you do all the looking for vendors and things like that. And they also know the rules. Like, a lot of people just want to get married here or there or wherever, and they'll be like, well, over there you're going to have a crowd because everyone wants to get married over there. Over there you'll, you know, you'll get caught if you don't have a license, and we have a license. You know, things like that. Like, it's not a free-for-all, and they know everything about it. So, MauiIsland.com.
And speaking of not being a free-for-all, I understand, you know, some people, you have your wedding, you worry about wedding crashers. They come in, they drink your booze, they cost your money. He has guns. There's going to be no problems. Super Mario writes about gun control. What I don't understand about the whole situation is that if anyone tried to attack any other amendment in the Constitution, everyone would be pissed off. What if the government said, first of all, that has happened. Amendments have changed, and then amendments have changed those amendments. But anyway.
It's in the word.
What I don't understand about the whole situation is if anyone tried to attack any other amendment in the Constitution, everyone would be pissed off. What if the government said free speech is your constitutional right, but you can't talk about certain things, i.e. anti-government ideas? Or unlawful search and seizure is banned, except for when the government feels it okay.
But you can't. You can't just speak your mind. You can't threaten people. There are certain words that you can't, or certain sentences or phrases or whatever. There are certain things that you actually cannot say, and you still have freedom of speech.
Right. I think some people think Jesus wrote the Constitution.
Yeah, this is, again, not a free-for-all. Just because we have rights, it doesn't mean we have the right to do anything we want.
Slave owners wrote the Constitution. Let's keep that in mind, you know? Yeah, Kendra's right, obviously. Yeah, you have freedom of speech. However, you know, I'm going to kill the president of the United States.
You can't say that.
Oh, what? Well, I thought we had some freedom. No, you got to justify this shit you say. You have freedom of speech. However, you have slander. You have libel. Well, you have the right to bear arms. However... why do I need an assault rifle? So when the government decides to take away any more of my rights, I won't be defenseless against them. In my honest opinion, I don't think any weapon the military carries should be illegal for citizens to own.
Whoa.
But I understand why they are banned. I honestly think the government should give the states the right to decide what should be banned and what shouldn't be banned. Here in Texas, we seem to have our shit under control. I'm fine with a testing state, you know? Let Texas vote on if this is the state they want to be, and if they win, anti-tank missiles for everybody. But we got to put big walls around it.
Yeah, but also, if it works out or doesn't work out, however we feel, we get to say, like, you're still in the country or not.
Right.
We don't like this.
Well, that's what Super Mario had to say. Yeah, I just want everybody to hear everybody's opinions. I'll tell you what, if you hear this show... It's called Gun Control at 3930. That shocked me the most. This son of a bitch. If only I was allowed to have a gun. He started talking about mental illness. You know, that's a big thing, of course. The mentally ill having a gun. He mentioned 5150. I thought we were going to talk about that Van Hagar album. I got all excited, but apparently it's something different. He talked about impulse control whenever you were asking some of my questions. I thought you represented me very well.
Oh, good. That was, I couldn't wait for you to hear it to know if that was cool.
But I did take issue with this when mentioned how I was bullied in school. And I believe if you want to hear me really get into it, I believe it's the Keith and the Girl show entitled Bully, I would imagine. You can look at keithandthegirl.com and search for bully and you'll see what's going on. I was bullied. And I was saying if I had access to a gun, at some point I would have brought a gun in, maybe to show it, maybe to scare. And I know who I would have showed it to, Jeremy May. And he was a bad motherfucker. And he was in one of these, you know, halfway homes for troubled kids. Maybe he would have went push comes to shove and, you know, who knows what he would have done. Maybe he didn't think I'd have the balls to use it. I could see taking a gun if my parents had them and they were in a place where they could have had them and bringing it to school, I could see using it.
Well, we already established that you're mentally ill.
Well, here's what I'm saying. So Ron starts saying about, well, it's impulse control. He goes, I was bullied. There are thousands of people in my school were bullied. And none of us even thought to bring a gun, and we all had guns. But I'm telling you, I would have. It only takes a couple people. If I had access, I would have. He said, Whittle Keith didn't have impulse control. He had to bring a gun. Well, you say that to me when I shoot people. Do you know what I mean? No, I did.
Sure. I'm pretty sure that's why you wanted to shoot people, because people are talking to you like that.
Yeah. I mean, when there's, why are you hitting yourself? You know, Will Keefe can't stop hitting himself. You know, is that what you're going to say? You say to these, when there's school shootings, you go, "Ah, little baby didn't have impulse control."
We should try that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. There are the people that can't handle it, and I would have been one of those people. I'm telling you. That's why I don't think people should be able to have these guns. Now, obviously, you're always going to get your guns. Don't be so nervous, by the way. I just think it should be nothing. It should be nothing. But these little laws they're putting in, and they're little to me, in New York State, and it's probably going to go on a federal level. I look them up. I don't know what everybody's getting nervous about, you know? If you have a gun, it should be registered. I don't know. But stop it. Ron, you weren't bullied. You weren't bullied.
He was bullied.
He was bullied? How so?
I don't know, but he had a rough upbringing.
When he has a story, he tells it. Okay? He would have brought up this bullying.
We were staying on track.
Everybody's not bullied. Everybody wasn't a nerd.
He was, hitchhiking was big.
If you were bullied how I was bullied, you would have a story what kept you from bringing a gun in.
Didn't I don't know if we mentioned this on the show or not, but hitchhiking was big when he was a kid, and he was hitchhiking one time, and the guys who picked him up just beat the ever-living shit out of him. And he said he wouldn't have pulled out his gun.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What if you see the hit? What if that happened every day?
I don't know, but he had some fucked up shit happen to him when he was younger.
I want to say, by the way, we were talking about this Manti Te'o yesterday, the linebacker for Notre Dame that perhaps made up having a girlfriend, made up giving her leukemia, made up having her die, and then turns out maybe it's an old friend who's put this hoax on him, and he said he met the woman, but he was just embarrassed. He actually never met her. It was a catfish type thing, and he fell in love with a guy fucking around. You know, with a picture and a guy fucking around with him. But meanwhile, he says they talked every night, you know,
I mean,
to this woman.
That's very possible that they talked every night.
What do you mean?
Not over the phone. They chatted maybe
No,
every
they
night.
He says they talked every night. I mean, this Manti said they met, that they talked every night, that they'd fall asleep on the phone together.
Wow. You know, this is going to, when we find out what really happens, it's going to be the dumbest thing in the world.
Right. And right before the show started, and it's a pretty convoluted story so far, I was going through my tweets on the shitter, and I saw that Emmy said, "Hey, I wrote a less complicated version of this story." And I'm like, this is the shit I take 30 seconds before the show starts, you know?
So let's have it.
So I'm glad she was listening and was able to write in and help explain something. So here's what I'm saying. I need time for my shits. We're calling for new interns. info@keithandthegirl.com. I need time for words with friends. I need time for shits, and I don't have it right now.
You can also write interns@keithandthegirl.com. And, you know, give us some detail about yourself. Let us know if you're going to school or not going to school. You don't have to be. And what you'd want to do for Keith and the Girl, or if you're just up for anything. Just things like that. What you're best at.
I mean, maybe you're good at words with friends, and you can take my place on that. Then I'll have time for actual work. But something needs done here. And speaking of which, I do notice this. This is important research. A researcher, Joshua Lewis, wants to change the letter points on Scrabble, which is the same as Words with Friends. He says the current values assigned by creator Alfred Butz, based on how often letters appeared on the front page of the 1930s New York Times, should be altered to reflect the evolution of word usage.
Oh, wow.
He says, among other proposed changes, the letter X should drop from 8 to 5 points, and Z should drop from 10 to 6.
Well, nobody's going to like that.
But it is kind of easy. You get a Z, you drop an A in there, it's a day. You're done.
Za?
Za's a word.
Yeah.
I mean, X, I don't get nervous with X. You throw an A in front of it. You throw an E in front of it. You're done.
What does that mean, X-E?
Axe, X. These count as words.
Oh, before. Oh, X is a full word? EX is a full word?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that was considered a full word.
Yeah, it's kind of easy.
I got to start playing words with friends. Every time Lauren plays, I'm just like, can I help?
Right.
I do pretty well.
It really makes me dumber because it accepts words. I don't know that these are words, so I start thinking they're words.
Well, now I know X is a word.
They should have like a chimpanzee playing Words with Friends. See how it does. Yeah, see who wins. Just like us anyway, they say, right? Here's a story about scientists in Spain report that a chimp at the zoo was given a TV, you know, that could switch channels. What do you think the chimp watches all the time? Porn. Flips until it finds porn. And then just watches it.
That's funny.
All day and night.
Just well, like it doesn't have any responsibility, right? If we didn't have any responsibility, right, how much more porn would we watch?
That's am I late for work? No, this is it. People stare at you. That's your job. Let me mention Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. You know this. Vistaprint. Business cards, calendars, posters.
Magnets.
Whether you have to do it for your business or you're just doing it for fun, like my fiance made a calendar for me for Christmas. It was probably the favorite gift I got, by the way. Don't tell anybody about the expensive stuff, but
it's personal.
This is personal. Yeah. This is beautiful. This is nice.
And every time we come over to your place, the new picture is up because it's like another month.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like it.
You get this stuff. Get yourself it's especially if you have a business, you know, and you give out a magnet that somebody puts on the refrigerator every time they go to their fridge. And believe me, all Americans keep going to their fridge. Check the news. They see your magnet and they go, oh, you know, I forgot about these guys in the last 4 minutes. what are they offering? What do they have? Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. Get 50% off your orders. Free shipping. All you have to do is spend more than $30. Spend more than $30, 50% off, and free shipping on your entire order.
Vistaprint. It's VISTAprint.com/Keith and the Girl.
Speaking of sex, look at this. Crabs, pubic lice, same thing. Big decline in this country, and it's because women are waxing everything.
It's got to be women and men, right? Because men are also trimming and waxing. It can't just be one sex, right?
Well, it's mainly because of the Brazilian bikini wax.
Wow.
The trend toward public hair deforestation in men as well as women is making pubic lice, also known as crabs, an endangered species. One large sexual health clinic in Sydney, Australia, hasn't seen a single woman with pubic lice since 2008. Male cases at the clinic have fallen 80%.
Wow.
It used to be extremely common, and now it's rarely seen. Without doubt, it's because of better grooming. The Brazilian wax, by the way, began right here in Manhattan in 1944. Excuse me, 1994. We're the founders of it. Now, it sounds like it was a mistake, doesn't it? What did you just do? And the person that made the mistake and ripped it all off happened to be Brazilian.
Right. It's so invasive. I don't know. I can't get down with like that whole thing. Yeah, I need some kind of... I trim, and right. So I don't think it's enough for lice to live there. Right. But... to completely have it off, I don't know.
Some women think their guy's disgusting if they shave it all off. Well, you want to fuck a little girl? I want to see all the beauty that you have. That's what guys want.
No, I understand. So it's, you know what? To be honest, it's nice when it's trimmed because, you know, like you said, you want to see what's going on. Right. But as the person who does the trimming, everything's a little more sensitive. And you can, you know, you can get there a little faster, a little more often. So, yeah, it's good.
I mean, I don't want to get through. I'm looking. Why don't I just lick the carpet? You know what I mean? Come on now. More than 80% of U.S. college students remove all or some of their pubic hair, if you're curious. Pubic lice doesn't transmit disease and are completely treatable, but can cause itching and skin reaction.
And also can cause a lot, like...
a lot of stress.
Yeah, it's like, ugh.
They're often transmitted through sex, but also through sharing bedding, clothes, or toilet seats with an infected person. Oh, you can't get anything from a toilet seat. Of course you can. How can't you? If you can get it from somebody else's fork, you can probably get it from a toilet seat. Historically, it's been very difficult to get data on pubic lice simply because people don't like to report it.
Yeah, and you can get over-the-counter stuff.
But habitat destruction is a good thing. Yeah, burn down their house. Absolutely. we have these polls at Keith and the Girl. They relate to each show that we do. We put a poll on our forums, keithandthegirl.com/forums, to interact. Yesterday we asked, do you urinate in the shower?
Can I tell you, somebody said, you know, somebody on the forum said, I urinate in my shower. The question is other people's shower. And I will announce this. If I've been to your house and I took a shower, I peed in it. The end.
You're in the shower.
So if you don't want me peeing in your shower, I can't come over and shower.
Say it's for, it's for employees only when it comes over.
I wash after, you know, soap follows it.
Of course. I mean, if I'm fine with you, I'm assuming you're scrubbing your asshole. If you're taking a shower, so pee. Who cares? You're not shitting it in, are you? I will only pee in showers. That's the only place I pee. Do you urinate in the shower? We asked the listeners. 94% say yes.
Yay.
6% are uptight freaks. Here's homework for you 6%. Pee in the shower tonight.
How do you hold it? Sometimes, like, it's too late. You get out of the shower and you make your toilet all wet.
I wish I had the time.
We need more interns.
Yeah, it's multitasking.
Help us pee normally.
Should the guy, this is a poll. This was about when Lauren was on, and she was telling a story about a guy in Hawaii who, some guy was making crass remarks to somebody's girlfriend, you know, winking, tongue sticking out, all this. And the guy's boyfriend, the woman's boyfriend, and his buddies ended up kidnapping this guy.
Just one buddy. Yeah, took him.
Just one. Oh, so total of two guys.
Yeah.
Took this jerk off, like into the woods or something, and beat the shit out of him, put cigarettes out on him, all this kinds of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Good. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, Lauren was like, this guy's my hero.
Should the guy be burnt with cigarettes and beaten? Now, what does our audience have to say? They're more level-headed, right? 58% said yes. Wink again, asshole. 42% said, nah, yes, he mentioned her pussy dripping. It's just words. Nah, you got to stand up for yourself. They think they can get away with it because nobody fights anymore. And finally, here's a poll result we didn't report. Hospitals, here are your choices. Fuck you, eat my shit. Fuck you wins 59%.
Honestly, I thought eat my shit would win.
I think I picked eat my shit. That's what I think I picked.
It's more aggressive, yeah.
Speaking of New York, we didn't mention this. Mallory Heights Hagen, born in 1988, is an American beauty pageant title holder. She was crowned Miss America 2013. She's from this great state. Wow. Prior to the title of Miss America, she was Miss New York 2012, Miss New York City 2012, Miss Manhattan 2011, and Miss Brooklyn 2010. So obviously worked her way up. And speaking of Brooklyn, that's where Kendra was there for her rap battle.
Yeah. So
was she there? Was the princess there?
Of course.
With her crown. Now it's funny that, oh, it is, by the way, you're really just judging their beauty.
Yeah.
These pageants. And so I can't help but find things wrong with her. Do you know what I mean?
That's sad.
What else does she do?
It's sad. It's just sad.
I'm like, well, no, looks like a little overbite to me. You know, I can't help it. I mean, here's the other stuff she did. She was also a two-time Miss New York first runner-up. She's a native to Alabama, where she had been runner-up in the Miss Alabama's Outstanding Teen Program and non-finalist talent winner Miss Alabama. She won the Miss America competition on a platform of child sexual abuse awareness and prevention, so she doesn't like it. What do you think about child abuse? No, thank you.
Well, it's prevention and awareness. That's the big part of it.
I'm sure she's making everybody aware when she was on stage for 10 seconds. She also gave...
That ends up being what they do throughout their year reign.
She also gave a timely response on the issue of gun control, in which she opposed fighting violence with violence. Good choice. She moved to New York after her first year of college at Auburn University, which is the local college near where she was raised. She's the fourth Miss New York to serve as Miss America. She's the second person from New York City and the first from Brooklyn to serve as Miss America. So shout out to Brooklyn. BK? Pop, pop.
I'm still Tony, going back for a second. I'm disgusted to hear Chemda pees in other people's showers. In your own, fine. But in mine, oh, hell no. Do you at least clean the shower afterwards? Let me tell you something, I'm still Tony. If you had anyone else in your shower, they peed in there also. Get over it. I don't know what the difference between your pee and my pee is.
Right.
It's totally fine. Yes, it was washed after. In the same way that all your drippings of your disgusting, nasty hair when you wash it gets washed. Like, you're actually washing your body, right? So a lot of disgustingness is coming out. In the same way, yes. Do you wash your shower every day?
I turn around, actually, and I pee in the back of the tub. And then I turn around and I wash the rest of myself.
Where does the rest of the dirt go?
Yeah.
You're washing it. Chill out.
Yeah, just, I'm telling you, if you've never done this, just do it, and you'll be like, oh, it's a whole new world.
I didn't know there were people who don't do it.
I find them odd.
I find them liars.
You think so?
Yes.
I just find them prudes and odd. All right, so tell me about the rap battle.
Okay, so I was told that doors open at 9 and rap battle starts at 9:30, and I didn't want to miss... these guys were on the marathon, Johnny and Chris. Didn't want to miss them. So I got there at 9:30 just because, you know, work ran late or whatever, but I was like, score, I'm right here.
This is Johnny Flatbush, of course.
Yeah. So so nerve-wracking. But, so I get there... There's rappers on stage, you know, and pretty decent ones, some better than others. And the actual rap battle did not start until after midnight.
When was it supposed to start?
I guess after midnight, since I should have known we would be on CP time.
Yeah, but I mean, what did they have a set time?
It was
time?
Supposed to start at 9:30, according to the information I got.
Okay.
So.
This is normal, by the way. It's a big reason. Why don't you like to go out, Keith? Never mind the story you're about to hear. But nobody's ever on time. Things are hours late. I go to a comedy club. I'm the only one there because somehow everybody figured out you're always hours late.
It sucks. It really sucks. I mean, you know, half hour, okay. You know, because you need time to settle in and, like, get a drink and stuff. And maybe they're waiting for a couple more people to show up so there could be some kind of vibe. I get it, you know. And when we first came in, there really weren't a lot of people. On the way in, this guy with a mouth full of gold teeth hit on me right away.
That's
so
nice.
So gross. Then he hits on, like, you know, not a lot of girls in this venue, but throughout the night I'm seeing, like, he really, any girl that just passes by or he passes by, he's like hardcore hitting on.
Okay, but if you turned him down, you can't be jealous. The guy's got to live. He's got to eat, so to speak.
The thing is he kept coming back, you know, and I would just kind of
be like.
Maybe
you changed your mind.
Well, I would just ignore him, walk away. Like, I wasn't starting anything. I wasn't saying, hey, like, fuck you or anything. Like, just, I just walked away. You gotta, you know, I just was like, no.
But I get trying again. I was at a restaurant not too long ago, and they said, do you want dessert? And I said, no, thanks. But I'm hanging out. I'm talking. They come back. They go, so no dessert? And I go, you know what? I'll have some. So it's kind of like that.
Okay, but, you know, I keep walking away. So, and things are going all right. Chris's girlfriend came also, and Lauren was with me, and we were hanging out. Lauren's friend came, Lauren's friend Jesse came, but he ended up leaving before midnight because he's like, dude, like, I came for a 9:30 show, right. You know, so he was done with it. So just as the battle started and Johnny and Chris were going on together and they weren't until like number 20 or something. So number one came on and number
is
two
it
came
random?
On.
Do you not know whose mom you're talking about until last minute?
You know what? According to the first one I saw, it didn't. They weren't like finding a topic. I don't think it was just you saying your rhymes and like if you're better than other people, then you win. I don't know if later on it got to be like more of an improv thing or what. But at least for the first round, I only saw the first two people.
Right,
we'll get to that. It seemed like they were just doing stuff that they had pre-rehearsed and pre-written.
Right.
So
I think they're always pre-written. You know, sometimes they'll switch one word, but they're like, all right, let me think about this word that rhymes with everything I know.
Yeah, a lot of them are. A lot of them are. Like, they'll have little tags in the middle of it to, you know, kind of think while you're doing it. But it's still really impressive because, because you have to integrate some of the stuff that you have ready with, you know, it makes sense.
But it's almost like stand-up, you know? Maybe a heckler yells something out, and so you take that and you make it you turn it around into something. Next thing you know, you're like, wait a minute, we're talking about the president? I yelled out pussy, you know.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah, oh, Bill Clinton got a lot of pussy. And now next thing you know, you're talking about gun control,
right? But it is still an art to have people yell at you and do that. Yeah,
right.
So that same guy, oh, and by the way, that guy, since he kept coming around, I told the bouncer, I was like, look, this guy's really genuinely harassing every female in there. And I wasn't sure if this guy's a bouncer, although he was tiny, little guy, you know, but he was outside with the other bouncers when we first came in. So I was like, do they know him? I was like, do you know this guy? And he's like, all right, if he hassles you again, let me know. So then it's the three of us, me, Lauren, and this guy's girlfriend, Allie. And he sits at our table at this point. And Johnny and Chris are ahead, you know, just kind of getting into the music, getting ready for stage time, you know. And so I was like, that's it. He just sat at our table. You know, I don't feel like talking about this. I don't want to start a fight. I go to the bouncer. I go, look, he just sat at our table. Could you please? It's not going to be good soon. You know, just he's hitting on this one's, you know, he's hitting on people with girl with boyfriends. You know, he's not a good idea. So the guy came over, but by the time he came over, Allie must have called Chris, her boyfriend.
Who's Allie?
Chris's girlfriend, who's sitting with us. It was me, Lauren, and Allie.
Okay.
Okay. So Johnny's friend, Chris, his girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay? So this picture, like, whatever. Anyway, so he's sitting there. Chris is sitting there with this guy, obviously talking about, look, dude, that's my girlfriend, you know? Now, to me, this is not ending well. The guy has a mouthful of gold teeth, and he's looking to start shit. That's, at that point, I was like, if he sat down at our table, if he's so fucking bold, come on, you know?
Right.
So the guy was like, he's not talking to any girls. So I was like, yeah, now he's talking to the girlfriend's boyfriend. That's doesn't seem to me that that's a good idea.
But the bouncer's saying that. Like, what? I don't see
a problem, kind of, you know? And I was like, not a good idea. And I could feel it coming at this point.
Right.
And so he said he was just kind of...
The bouncer.
Yeah, so he's just kind of dilly-dallying. So I'm like, fuck this. There are other bouncers. I go to get another bouncer. And then I'm finding one. But then now when I look back in the room, I see everyone stood up. Okay, no one's sitting at the table anymore. I see Johnny in the mix now. I see a bunch of people around Johnny, and I'm just and now
so everybody worked it out. Sounds
and
like.
Now they're face to face. I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna end perfectly. You know, like they're maybe an inch apart, and there's no way that's not gonna end in like a hit on something.
You don't think they're spitting rhymes?
Yeah, just practicing on the sideline. So I go to the bouncer. I go right now. The fight's about to happen. It's going to happen right now. Seriously, right now. You got to go right now. And the guy comes in. By the time he fucking decides to come in, we just got the first punch. So we see, and I don't even know where the first punch came from. I didn't see it at this time. But I know that whatever happened, everyone fell to the ground, including Johnny. Everyone's falling. All the tables and chairs are flying. Now people are coming in, trying to pick people off. I'm like running towards Johnny, and I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm like, I can do something. Like if someone's on top of him, I could at least distract him or something by starting to pull him off, which I know a lot of things are going to sound stupid while I'm telling them, but it was really scary and I don't want to see my friend on the ground. But as I'm walking towards them or whatever, someone goes, don't get any closer, like back up. And so this is the guy that works there. Yeah. And I think he works there and he's a bouncer. And I'm like, okay, I see a bunch of bouncers are all they're doing is picking people off. So they're in control, but they picked enough people off where I was like, where's Johnny and Chris? So I look around a little bit. I don't see them. And I'm like, fuck. I start gathering all our shit. We have coats. I don't see anyone I know. No one I know is in the club now. So I pull off, you know, coats and backpacks and whatever, you know, whatever I can grab off the table. Because I don't want them to go, oh, that girl was with that guy. Either we do something to her or we rob their shit or whatever. Because people are pissed now. They are pissed. You know, there's like people's hairs on the floor and shit, you know? So grab all the shit, go outside. I see Lauren. I still don't see the guys. And so I'm like, okay, they left, which means big trouble, you know? So let's just go get them. But this...
Go get them where?
I don't fucking know.
Right.
Let's get the fuck out of here. I have a car. Bye. You know, I'm not going to hang out, you know? So, and I'll text them once I'm in the car because that feels safer. What the fuck am I going to do? I can't fight anyone. So, and I assume they just they left and, you know, they're probably texting. Everything happened so fast. But there was this guy on the way out on outside right by the ropes that said, hey, what'd the guy look like? And I said he had a mouthful of gold teeth. And he goes, for real, you're going to have to give me more than that. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But no one else that I saw had a mouthful of gold teeth. This guy, like, was making sure you saw that. And I was like, the little tiny guy. And he goes, come on, give me more. And I go, I don't know, black hoodie? I mean, how many other people are wearing black hoodies? You know what I mean?
Is he trying to get you to say black? Period?
No. We're talking about a black guy.
Who do you mean? Can you be more specific? Yeah.
There were like two white guys at the club, and Lauren was one of them. So, and he's talking to her right now, you know? Whatever. But,
is he like Samuel Jackson in that one interview? Say the N-word. Say it. You're like, I don't feel comfortable. Then I don't know who you mean.
But I, you know, at that point, I was just like, that's fucked up. You know who I'm talking about. You know, I was like, the guy was out here. These guys know him. Like, what's right. going on, you know? And then a group full of people are trying to, let's say I'm facing out of the club, right? So a group full of people on my left are trying to cross over to the right, and the bouncers are stopping them from walking down the street. And they go, nope, you can't walk there. And they're like, we're just walking down the street. This is down the street. This is not in the club or anything. They're like, no, you can't walk down there. And it's because, obviously, Johnny and Chris went that way, and now a lot of people are going to try to go down that way to try to find them. So I was like, oh, this is great. Okay, they're on our side. This is good. So everything gets put in the car. I got to find Allie because that's, you know, the guy's girlfriend. So I come back for a second or something like that. And
you
I
come
see,
back where?
To the club. I was parked across the street, not far at all. And me and Lauren are there, and I see the guy. I'm like, oh, shit, that's the guy. And I don't want to be like, that's the fucking guy, because he'll just punch me.
Are you in your car or not?
I'm not in my car. I come back to see about Allie or something. I don't know. So I'm like, that's the guy. And I think I'm being subtle. But then Lauren's like, that's the fucking guy. And I'm like, fuck it. That's the guy. That's because he's just passing the bouncers who were just on our side trying to stop people from going that way. Right. So I'm like, yo, if you're stopping people from going that way, now's like a really good time. You know, since you're on my side, I feel like I could be bold and say, like, point that guy out. You know, I would never point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm pointing and they're not doing anything. I'm like, why aren't you doing anything? That's the guy. Hello, wake up. That's the guy. And I'm loud.
Right.
You're hearing me. I'm right in front of you. I'm right in front of this guy. And they just keep walking and no one's saying anything. And I was like,
the bouncers are walking.
Nope. The bouncers are just staying, ignoring what I'm saying. They're letting these specific guys go. This guy's definitely the guy, you know, and now he's with his friends. And I'm like, fuck, now we really have to go because we have to warn Johnny and Chris that they're coming their way. Wherever they are, they're coming their way. So if they think they're just kind of chilling around the corner, fucking leave. So, I get into the car and I start, like, Johnny starts texting me, we're hiding behind cars. Find us here, like, you know, he just gave me a cross street, and we start going. But first, we back down the street, like, you know, we back the car up down the street. We get out. Allie's talking to the bouncer still. We're like, Allie, get in the fucking car. Allie, get in the fucking car. Allie, get in the fucking car. She's like, what? I'm like, in the fucking car now. And I'm thinking, like, come on, before we draw more attention to us, no one needs this shit right now, you know? Right. Like, get in the car. What's wrong with you? So then she goes, oh, and she starts coming towards our way as if she's got, I've never walked that slow in my life, okay? And I'm like, are you fucking for real?
Like, do you think for a second, like, are you on the other team's side?
No, not at all. But I'm thinking maybe she's unaware of what happened. Maybe she happened to not see what I saw.
But
maybe.
You know, there's an energy that you know something just happened. Everybody's outside also.
You know, I think so, but giving her the benefit of the doubt. But then once she caught our face and she was still walking, I was like, Allie, now. Like, there is no now. And right. I said, fucking hurry. Like, we're not even being polite. She's still walking slow. She gets in the car and we, like, sped off. You know, I'm trying to find Johnny and Chris before these guys do.
Right.
You know, not cool. They're, like, probably, they don't want to get into a fight. They don't want to do this shit. You know, now there's, like, they're outnumbered. You know,
right.
Fuck this. Even if they're, you know, the strongest people we know, no need, right? So we're driving around. First thing that comes out of this girl's mouth is, oh, my God, they totally ruined my shoes. These shoes were $250. Okay. And I was like, are you really saying that? Because I couldn't believe it. Lauren just goes, shut the fuck up. And I'm like, okay.
She's not wondering where her boyfriend is?
I don't know what's wrong with her. I guess she was drunk or something. That's the only thing I could figure out because I was like, am I hallucinating or is she talking like this?
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, my shoes are totally ruined. I go, okay, well, we need to find these people, okay? Like, there's
I went to a rap battle, first of all, I wouldn't expect to leave with my shoes.
She's got heels on and everything.
Right. Here's what I'm picturing. Tell me if this is what happened. So they're hiding behind some cars and you see a group ready to find them and kill them.
Yeah.
And you see this group go down the alleyway. And then I picture the whole group coming, walking back and all their pockets are inside out. All right.
So she's got no sense of urgency, but luckily we're driving. Okay, so we're driving. She goes, I'm hungry.
Well, and, she's hungry.
And I said, are you really saying that? And she goes, yeah, I'm really hungry. I go, can you not? Right. And Lauren's like, can you shut the fuck up? Just shut the fuck up. And I'm like, okay, Lauren, hold on. You know, like, and then she starts calling.
I will say, are you really saying that is just as bad. I'm saying it's necessary, but I don't think shut the fuck up is any worse than, are you really saying that?
I was floored. It just really came out of, I was floored. This isn't, neither one of these guys are my boyfriend. I mean,
right.
Johnny's like, my family.
But even if you didn't know what's going on, and you would know you're missing your boyfriend. But even if you didn't know what was going on, and my friend said, get in the car now. And
yeah.
You're like, well, I'll find out later. Right. Let's get in the car now. And if I said I'm hungry and somebody said, did you really just say that?
Yeah.
It would be like, okay, let's think why that's odd.
Meanwhile, she's calling the boyfriend.
He won't pick up.
But what's happening is, I think, at some point I realized we can't call them anymore because
it'll start ringing.
Yeah, they can't talk to us. Later, they told us that while this girl is talking to Chris, they can hear those guys coming to get them. They're like, I'm going to fuck this motherfucker up, blah, blah, blah. So they're right next to them. So Johnny's like, get the fuck off the phone, get the fuck off the phone, you know.
The girlfriend can hear this happening through the phone. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what she can hear, because to me, she can't hear jack shit. She's just like, I don't know where you are, blah, blah, blah. And she starts yelling at us, they're in fourth, they're on third. I'm like, please, please, please stop.
Right.
Please stop, because she's just being a maniac in the backseat and... We're worried, you know, and we're just trying to like fucking focus because they said they're in the back of something. And, you know, while you drive down, honk. If we don't hear you honk, we're not going to come out because, you know, a lot of people are waiting for them. So they were afraid that those guys got in a car and, you know, they didn't want to like come out to anyone's car.
Right.
So we couldn't find where they were. We're still going. What else? I don't know. So she's hungry. She's whatever. She's calling them. Oh, and then after... So she starts getting sick of us in the back seat, and she goes, I'm leaving, opens the door. I reach in the back and go, Allie, no. And I start grabbing her to get back in. She's like, no. And she pulls me away, closes the door. She's out. And Lauren's like, I'm fucking leaving her. I'm like, we can't leave her. This is someone's girlfriend. And wow. So, but meanwhile, she's just walking away, and we just turned, and she's walking. I can't. Plus, if I start getting out, we're still around the corner from everything. You know, we're still like circling the block sort of thing. If I get out and we take this time, like they might jump all of us. There's no need. Right. Fine. You want to get out? I don't know what to do with you right now. So we're leaving.
Right.
So
where's she happen to live, do you know?
In Manhattan.
Okay.
So we're in a different borough.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I'm out. Just tell him to meet me at the house. No.
Right.
I'm just getting out. And she's like, what? You know what? I'm just going to get out. You can't tell me to shut the fuck up. I'm like, you better shut the fuck up. Woo! So she jumps out. And then we finally found them. They like pop up, run into the car, duck down. We leave. And for some reason, we're like having a hard time getting out of there. But we are getting out. And they tell us later that they did. Those guys had brass knuckles. They had pipes.
Wow.
Yeah, they had all the shit. And I found that very interesting because when you went into the club, every guy got completely patted down. Like, are we on a date sort of patted down inside your pockets? They went inside your pockets. They felt everything. So it's interesting that the guy that they kept hesitating to throw out.
Right.
And by the way, at some point they go, we don't fight in this club, so I don't know what you guys are doing. And I'm like, are you fucking serious?
What does that even mean?
Are you fucking serious? Like, I brought this shit.
I see.
You can't be serious. Meanwhile, there's fighting. Just go. So I go, well, there's fighting now. You want to do, you know?
Right.
Go. So then in the car.
Does Chris ask about his girlfriend?
Well, as soon as he gets in the car, Lauren goes, that girl's a fucking idiot. And I'm like, Lauren,
right.
Let's take a minute. This guy was just through a lot, but she's really infuriating. But then we circle the block again. I'm like, can you call her up, find out where she is? Because she just jumped out of the car. They were like, she jumped out of what? I'm like, I don't even know. Because how do you explain, you know, you're supposed to be responsible for each other while, you know, other people are not there. And I did feel that, but I'm just like, I swear to God, I reached over, grabbed her. I grabbed her a couple times because I grabbed her to get in the car.
Right.
I grabbed her like not to get out of the car. I don't know if she's on drugs or she's just, you know, or she's too drunk or whatever it is. I just met her that night. So yeah, I thought it was interesting that those guys had brass knuckles and they had pipes. And what's funny is this is the first time that Johnny went out to do this. When he first got out of jail, he wanted to try to do it, but he saw that all rap brings is fight. Like everything, every time he goes out, it's a fight. So he stopped because he didn't want to get in trouble. He didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to break probation or like whatever it was. He wanted to stay in the clear of that stuff. So he thought this particular thing, because he heard from a particular person.
Isn't most
about
rap
it,
about fighting? If it's not about how much money they have, isn't it about fighting?
Well, not if you go maybe to places like the New Yorican, like Village Underground. You know, I mean, they're more few and far between, and they're probably not battling. There's probably more of an open mic, but you know what? You're just going to have to go that way. But the way he heard
about
it.
And when
the
word is battle, too. You go into a battle.
Yeah, but they're poetry battles, you know, I mean, whatever.
I've never heard of a poetry battle.
Right, they're called poetry slams, but still, you know. Right. And this is a form of poetry, and they really just want to put their shit out there. And it's just, so he's like, damn, this is why I didn't want to start to begin with. And, you know, I feel a sense of responsibility. Like, I was like, don't bring girls to this thing anymore. Establish yourself first, you know, because, but he gets targeted a lot because he's light-skinned. Like, they'll be like, who the fuck are you? Like, He said the N-word one time in a club, and they're like, who the fuck do you think you are for saying that? Blah, blah, blah. But he's black.
Right.
If your president is black, he's black, because he's half black, you know? And for some reason, he came out more light-skinned than his brother and sister, or whatever. But he's so light that he got that throughout his whole life, and people just kind of start fights based on that. Anyway, so we're driving away, and everything's fine now. Johnny's adrenaline starts coming down, so he realizes his knee is fucked up and his elbow's a little fucked up from crashing, you know, when that big first thing hit.
Right.
And the other thing they realize is they just left their bikes chained to the front of, and they're not sure if people, because it's right in front, the bouncer saw them come in, and their bikes are their livelihood. And just as he came out of the club, Johnny went to try to get his lock off the bike so he can at least hit someone with it if it comes down to it. So he's not, he was perfect. He was right on. Like, he understood this needs to happen right now, or we leave, or like whatever. Like, let's, you know, he walked to the end of the block, then they turned the corner, then he ran. Like, he was well aware of what he needed to do, or he's like, they were gonna kill me. They don't care who dies, right? Mm. So the bikes are left there.
Where in Brooklyn is this?
Red Hook.
Okay.
Yeah, a bad neighborhood. So, but it borders such a nice neighborhood.
They all do.
I know. So the bikes are left there, and
you guys know that live in New York or visit in New York, and you're just walking down the street, and then one more block, and you're like, whoa, okay.
Seriously.
Why don't you write dead end?
Totally. I mean, really, you turn the corner, and it's like, okay, I don't belong here. I got to go.
It's like you're in the Truman Show, and they couldn't figure out the rest of the city fast enough.
Yeah, I mean, for those who come to visit, really, you could just turn around and leave.
Right.
You know, it's not like, oh, now you're trapped, and they just zipped the zipper, and you can't get out anymore. You just don't go there. So so now they're realizing, like, their bikes could just be stolen or fucked up the next day, because they're not sure if, you know, Johnny, if they saw Johnny go for that or not, you know, and it's just really fucked up. So Lauren and I volunteered to go the next day to pick up the bikes. He came with us. And we're thinking, he goes, we should go early in the morning, because he's talking about hood rat time. Because they're probably going to stay up all night, do the drinking and whatever drugs they're into, and then crash at a certain hour. And that, between that hour and sometime in the afternoon, you're kind of safe to roam the streets because they've partied themselves tired.
Okay.
So we had to go at a very specific time. We got there around 10 in the morning. Super speed. The bike rack was already on from our place. Put them on, ran away, and that's the end. I don't think we'll be going to Red Hook ever again.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Just want to have a nice, honest rap battle. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah. Well, the bikes were all okay.
That's good news.
Yeah.
So you'll have to have, like, rap battles in your house for him to...
I would love that.
Get it out of his system.
Yeah. It was... So then, you know, I'm laying in bed later on. Like, obviously, we all have to run through it 10 times. Right. Like, oh, my God, this happened. And I was running through it, and I'm like, okay, I can pick out 10 different spots where, like, if something zigged instead of zagged, we would... Right. Like, one of us would be really fucked up. Like, really fucked up. I should not point to that guy and say, it's him. But I thought those guys were stopping people from going there. So I was being specific. I would never do that. You know, things like that. Like, you know, Allie...
When you say this, does Teeth look at you and be like, hey, bitch?
Or
everybody's going to pretend you don't exist.
We were lucky that they were so livid about those guys that they were just focused. They just kept going forward like they were in some weird video games, and they were the guys you couldn't control, you know?
Right.
So I was like, okay, at least they're not looking at me while I'm even pointing. So, ugh. Right. Yeah, and then, you know, just backing down the street, yelling at Allie, like, just like the more we yell, the more people are going to be like, oh, that's their friends in the car. So while we're looking for them, just follow their friend. You know, just all this kind of shit was adding up. And
was Allie able to fix her shoes?
Oh, they're destroyed. Poor thing.
That's the thing. This Chris is going to, after all this, he used to make sure she gets new shoes. Poor guy.
We couldn't believe the bikes were there normal. And Johnny with his broken knee is on his bike today working.
Oh, yeah, broken? When you say broken?
Yesterday he couldn't really bend it. We iced it. You know, we just put your foot up, you know, whatever it is. This morning, like, he needed my help to walk up the steps last night, you know, just that kind of thing. So this morning he seemed to move with a little more ease. Not the best biking condition, but he has to work, so he just went to work.
Right. I feel like you don't want to get into so much detail, but Johnny seems like he can take care of himself.
Oh, yeah.
Right? For being a skinny guy also.
That's the thing. He's like, I'm too skinny for this.
Right.
You know, but I'm like, you did exactly the right thing. Right. But he said when the bouncers were pulling people off, they were like pulling them up like they were dolls. Like, just, you know. Mm. And he can estimate a situation really quick, and he does everything to avoid a fight. He's just like, and they said, they were talking to these people like, look, we're not trying to try. He's like, we're being so humble, you know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, in someone's more youthful time, they'd be like, we were pussying out. But he's like, I don't want any trouble. I don't want to fight. You know, you're okay. Like, you're fine, you know. We're told, like, not our thing. This is not our place. Like, everything you can say to be like, whatever it is, like, it's your place. We're just here to, you know, do this thing. Like, we mean no disrespect. He's saying all this shit. And also, the guy goes, yeah, and he flips his hat. He, like, flips his hat. Like, obviously, like, go fuck yourself, right? So he's like, that's cool. He moves his lid to the back. Right. Just like, okay. You know, whatever, that was probably a mistake. Like, no, you know, not saying anything because he just wants to avoid it. Like, get out of here. I don't want this shit. I really just want to do this art thing. So he flips the hat around. The guy goes, why you flip your hat around, Why you flip your hat around, So Johnny's like, well, now it's off. Now what?
Right.
Like, just what do you want? So, yeah, but he got himself out of there as fast as possible.
Does he say, like, you know why? Because you flicked it.
No. No, he's like, I couldn't be more humble. I was trying, like, to humble my way out of it, you know. Because he knows, like, you just kind of look at people different or, you know, just kind of say the wrong thing. So he's trying really hard not to make this a thing.
He's like Bruce Banner. He just doesn't want to be bothered, and people keep poking him.
I felt bad because it's like about this guy that was bothering girls, and I didn't want him involved. And I'm just like, don't invite us to this anymore because girls bring trouble because they're not going to come. This guy was the original guy, like half the size. I mean, Johnny's tall. He's skinny, but he's tall. The guy with the fronts. Yeah. Okay. So he was like a midget. He's so tiny, you know? And so he's not going to go up to Johnny and fuck with him, right? No, he goes up to Johnny's friend's girlfriend, Johnny's, sister, you know, whatever, like anybody else. So I felt like we brought the trouble, but I was trying so hard. I was like, I'm not going to talk to this guy. I'm just going to warn the bouncers. This thing is happening and it's getting worse. It's getting worse and everyone's uncomfortable. And you watch this guy, that really just a handful of girls in this club, and he's just walking around making every girl feel uncomfortable.
Did it feel like these are the regulars, everybody rapping there, that kind of thing, and Johnny wants to rap, but he's this outsider, and it's like, who the, you think you're going to out-rap us? We'll literally kill you.
No, because no one was aware that he was one of the rappers. Okay. Like, it's not like, here's the rapping side and here's not. And it's also not a regular thing. It's a party that someone threw, and it's like, oh, come to this contest that doesn't happen once a week or once a month or anything. It just happens to be that you need to find out about this. And yeah, no one was messing with him until this guy.
Right.
Like, there was nothing like that happening except for this guy who obviously was cool with the bouncers and you know, was allowed in with brass knuckles. I don't know if he was the one who had brass knuckles, but it was his crew. Brass knuckles, a pipe, like all that kind of shit. You don't pat someone down and not find a pipe.
Right.
Or brass knuckles.
Maybe, like, could these guys put the pipe on their inner thigh?
Because they're black. No, because it was a black guy patting you down, so he knows.
I see that. It's just talking. I see. All right. I read this. Well, congratulations on being alive. I want to see how long that this relationship lasts between Allie and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
What a story.
Yikes.
I read this. A Bronx mom says she went shopping for groceries and wound up serving hard labor. Her name is Tammy Flores. She's 49. She's suing her local Food Town supermarket. That's kind of a little good, all right? Food Town?
Yeah, C-Town, Food Town. Not thrilled about them.
Any based on towns. She's suing for $3.25 million.
Wait, for what?
She alleges that after employees there accused her of shoplifting last January 29th, she was made to rip apart boxes and other acts of forced labor for 5 hours.
Mm, you know what? This is what I wish. Like, you just caught me stealing.
Right.
I'll just do work and we all go about our way. But now she's calling them out.
In two Bronx Supreme Court lawsuits, one in her name and one in her daughter's, filed last week, Flores claims a store manager ordered her and her 11-year-old daughter into the basement to work off the alleged theft, for which no police report was filed. The man was staring at me like he wanted to kill me, she said, describing the manager. It was box after box. I felt trapped. I couldn't breathe. I was trembling. I didn't know what was going to happen. I felt like a prisoner. The manager, Felix Porterreal, said the allegations are baseless and he has no memory of the mom or the daughter.
Ooh, nice one.
So he's saying she's making the whole thing up out
Love
of nowhere.
It. Good.
Could she describe the basement?
Maybe.
Can she, you know?
Right, right.
What exactly did you use to cut the boxes?
But then I would just say that she was trying to steal from the basement.
He said he catches three or four shoplifters a week and always calls the cops after their photographs for evidence, even keeping them on the wall. We don't do that over here. How do you even get that kind of quote, you know? Did you make her cut up boxes? We don't do that over here. Here's what my quote would be. What? She says that you made her do work. You put her in the basement and she had to break down boxes. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Manager Keith Malley says, huh? What? No.
And she was handed a favor. I would say if she wins, she has to do time
also.
Well,
she's denying shoplifting also.
Ew.
The owners of the Food Town, which are named in the lawsuit, did not return messages. Oh, if you can believe it. They didn't return messages to a dumb newspaper. I can't believe it. I need boxes. I'm moving.
Oh.
This would be a dream.
Shoplift.
I'm going to shoplift, go down, break down all these boxes. I'll take them out the back, boss. See ya. Get myself 15 new boxes.
You guys are insane. You are moving tomorrow and packing after this show today.
We got the keys yesterday. We said, why not? I can see why not, but...
I could think a couple reasons, but okay.
But, if we don't get the move done in the weekend, we're going to have to wait another week. It's like, all right, let's just do it. How long does it take? You know? I get everything's more of a process than you think it is, but you're just packing.
It makes you move.
Right.
I mean, you know, moves right. Your ass.
You saw the place. What do you think? Be honest.
It's awesome.
You like it better
really
than
nice.
My old place?
It's bigger.
Is that good?
Why wouldn't it be good?
I don't know. The way you're saying it, it's bigger. I'll give you that.
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's great.
It is, right?
You know, I guess I feel uncomfortable. Like, it's not my space to say. It's wonderful.
Okay. Why wouldn't a good thing be your space to say?
I guess so. I like it.
It's nice.
I like that you have a separate room. I like how you guys decided which room is what. I like the wall full of...
Closets. I'm like Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah. If you put... I would put a curtain or a door by there because... You don't have any closets in the bedroom,
right?
So it's like you can make that your walk-in closet. So if someone's in the living room, sort of thing. But I love it.
How about that kitchen?
Oh, super big, like double the size of your kitchen now. You know, I love that.
And let me tell you, what
and I'm... also closer to the living room, so that's kind of nice. You know, it's like right off the living room. So, you know, remember we were just over your house, and like if you're in the kitchen, you're sort of missing out.
Yeah.
On action. So now you'll be in the kitchen. You could still talk to the guests and stuff. That makes a big difference to me.
You can have a little party overflow.
Yeah.
Going into the kitchen.
Yeah. Smack people's hand when they try to take the cheese before you put it out.
It seems that's where people like to hang also.
They do.
The kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be good. She's excited. I mean, she was asking for a blueprint of the house so she could put it into a program. My fiance and start organizing the furniture. And
keep
I said,
her.
I said, easy when you think about the TV because we're upgrading.
Oh, no.
We're going to put that old TV.
Keith.
She wanted to move. She got to move. Guess what we get now? 60-inch.
Does it work that way?
Yes, it works that way.
Are you really getting one?
I'm getting a 60-inch LED.
So you get a bigger house and for punishment for her moving you into a bigger house.
Not punishment. You get your way, I get my way.
I guess I'm nervous. It's a bigger place. It costs more money.
Right.
But she's doing really well also. So, right. Yeah.
So we'll put the old TV, the piddly 42-inch, in the office. 60-inch. Oh, just in time for the big game.
But when are you going to watch TV in your office?
Who cares?
Okay.
I don't even know. No, she can watch, I can play my video games, for example. She can watch her murder mysteries.
That is good.
While she's working.
That is good when there's two, because Lauren likes to play Batman, and that's a one-person game.
Right.
Snooze alert. Sure. I mean, I don't even understand. Right. And she says things like, want to watch me play Batman? I'm just like, no. Right. Just like straight up, no.
Why don't, and I don't want to rule the TV, but when she watches, she's not really watching. She's doing her work anyway. So how about you do that in a separate room, not really watching something?
To be honest, Lauren deserves a second TV. It's not me that deserves it because we always end up watching my shit.
Right.
She's so flexible on it. I'm just like, this is a horrible movie. You want to watch it? She's like, okay. I'm just like, you love me. Like, you love me. So, she gets to play half an hour of Batman. But it's like Batman just, he talks to himself all day long. Yeah. And he watches the fucking enemy. Then he tries to swoop down. He fucks up. He tries again. I'm just like, oh my God.
Between the video game and the movies, I don't think Batman would be fun to hang out with. He really seems, he seems draining. It's bad. Chicks him into him. He seems draining to me.
Well, I think it's a good idea to get a second one so that people can, can just kind of do their own thing for a second. Like, I'm really in the mood for this and you're really in the mood for that. No compromise.
Yeah. And I'm going to get, I have to get wireless headphones too. Because when I shoot people, I like it loud.
You're going to be so much louder than you think. Awesome. You're going to yell at the TV.
Yeah. 60. And now here's what I got to make sure. I got to call all my friends, make sure they don't have bigger than 60. I get 42. They go, hey, I just got one too. 43. I'm like, ah.
Well, I also like this building has fewer people, fewer floors, fewer people. So less chance of crazy.
That's true.
Yeah, that's really good. And you have two doors to get into your place. I always think that's cool.
Right.
I don't know. For some reason, I see like someone knocking on the door. It's like your buddy. I don't want to say hi to him. I'm just going to go out. Like, just say I left already.
Right.
And it's not mean or anything. I'm going to leave. So instead of this elaborate, hi, how you doing, who gives a shit process, I'm out.
I like being able to sneak out easily. Next month sometime, we didn't figure out when, we're going to have a rap battle. And so I want to know that I can get out if there's ever trouble.
I'll bring my posse. I got a posse now.
Let me mention this again. Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. I got to get some stuff for the new house, as a matter of fact. Calendars, magnets, business cards, everything you need for either your business or a personalized gift.
By the way, this might sound crazy to some people, but I think it's wonderful. And I've gotten you this in the past and other people as well. Business cards as a gift. Because maybe you don't have a business, but maybe it's like some cute thing. You know, maybe you're trying to spread the word about some kind of anything, like, or maybe that's a new way to invite people to parties or whatever, something cute. I remember getting you your shite.com business cards. My brother got us personalized things for Keith and the Girl, also through Vistaprint, like I believe it was pens that say, what do we do now or something like that.
Or save it for the show.
Oh, save it for the show, because Keith used to always look for a pen to be like, oh, I got to write that down. So, I don't know, lots of cute things. Take a look, vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl.
I got 100 business cards from them. It says on it, want to fight? And then anytime somebody does something crazy on the street in my direction, I hand them the card, immediately diffuses the situation. They're like, holy shit. I mean, this guy made business cards. Does he want to fight?
You know, to me, like, you can make fake business cards to just be like, excuse me, but this restaurant is a little subpar. We'll be back next week to look at it.
Get business cards. You go into these into bars, restaurants now, they always have a jar there. Put your business card for a free dinner. Mm-hmm. Drop in your fucking business card. Make yourself a PhD, FBI, make yourself anything. And then sometimes, you go, oh, what do I, here, let me write my phone number on the back of this card, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
I'm going to make a card that just says Chemda. You can't pronounce it, but you can look it up.
50% off, free shipping when you spend over $30. It's that easy. Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. God bless you. It's good to see Chemda's alive. I'll tell you all about my moving adventures on Monday.
Yee.
And we'll talk to you soon. KeithandTheGirl.com.